Sorry. Oh, so sorry. Is that the right way to start out a podcast? Hello. Welcome to the Better Strangers podcast. My name is Eric McEwen, and I'm your host for this show. This show is about having conversations, and more specifically, having conversations with complete strangers. Now, I haven't been doing this for the last couple of weeks, months, whatever. We'll get into it. We actually bring it up pretty early on, so that'll hopefully explain everything. And just a quick reminder that this is in actual conversations. Any pauses or the like within the conversation are not edited or cut out. It's all as awkward as it seems. I don't want to say too much up top here, so this is just a conversation between me and Chor O'Neill, and you'll find out more about Chor and about me as the conversation goes on, and we'll analyze and talk about the conversation after the conversation. All right? So I'll check you on the... check you. I will not check you. I'll hear you on the other side of the conversation. We'll talk. We'll talk. You and me. Hello, Chor. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I am excited for this call because most of the calls I have had are with people who are like one step removed from me, where it's like a friend of a friend has said, hey, call this guy. But you saw the posting on Metafilter a while back.
I did.
And so we have no connection whatsoever.
I'm sure we could find one.
We could. Well, we'll dig into that. Yeah. But, yeah. Hello.
So are you getting better at talking to strangers?
No.
So this whole experiment hasn't actually worked.
It's, well, it has a little bit, but I've been on a hiatus for like 2 months here because of, I think I'm getting better at doing it, but I'm still not better at making the phone calls and actually like forcing myself to talk to people.
Okay, so when you actually have to talk to somebody, it's going a bit smoother, but you're not getting over like the fear of picking up the phone, or
yeah,
is it just procrastination?
Yep, that's it. Well, both procrastination. It's a horrible combination of procrastination and unfounded fear.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, what are you afraid of? Like, what do you think would happen? Like awkward silence.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I like awkwardness. All right, I can deal with awkwardness. I have no. See, the thing is, I have no rational. It's not rational whatsoever because I'm not gonna die. If someone says I can't talk right now or this is boring, whatever. Who cares? So it's just this deeper ingrained horrible. You know, probably some trauma from childhood where I had some phone incident. I don't know.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I have to talk to people all the time that I don't know, usually for work.
Yeah.
And so I'm not that afraid of anything going wrong. Like, I figure if it's awkward, it's awkward.
Yeah, and I'm okay. I'm okay with that. What kind of work do you do?
I'm a project manager for a tech company here in San Francisco.
Okay. San Francisco. Oh, interesting.
I know. It's super fun until it gets cold, and it's starting to get cold.
Yeah, it's getting cold here. How cold does it get down to in San Francisco? I know it doesn't snow that often, does it?
It doesn't snow because we're too close to the ocean, I believe,
right,
is the excuse. But I do think it gets down into the low 40s. Right now, it's 52.
That's all right.
But it's kind of like it's a cold, wet dampness. Even if it's not raining, the fog just kind of brings dampness.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah, it's 40
yeah,
like, right now, but it's crisp.
Where is here?
Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, it gets cold here.
Yeah, my the worst thing ever is, like, when your room, like your bedroom, doesn't get warm enough throughout the course of the day,
mm-hmm,
but it just gets that dampness that's on everything, and you get in the bed, and you can feel that the bed is damp.
Oh, man, that sounds terrible.
It's really terrible. So, yeah, no, I turn on, like, a dehumidifier. We have, like, two dehumidifiers in the bedroom. And still, it doesn't do a lot.
I like the white noise that a dehumidifier brings to the table.
Yeah, it's either that or the heater.
Yeah, yeah, something's got to be going year-round. In the summer, we have a fan going. In the winter, we have a humidifier.
Yeah, we don't have any of that. Like, we have, like, one heater in the living room. It does a really bad job. So everything else is just, like, little electric appliances that we plug in. Mm-hmm. There's no air conditioning in San Francisco.
How hot does it get there, usually? Or where does it top out at?
I would say it can top out into the 90s, but that's really only in certain neighborhoods on, like, 2 days a year.
That is not
like,
bad
if you were down
all.
In, like, the Mission District where it's all concrete and no parks or anything, yeah, you can get, you know, hot weather down there, but never in my neighborhood.
Okay. Man, California's great.
It can be, but it can also be kind of annoying.
Oh. Well, yeah. California in general is annoying?
Well, I mean, you have to share it with Californians.
Yeah, well, there's all those other people in there.
The hipsters.
With you. Yeah, you got it. Well, they're everywhere.
Yeah. Guess what?
What?
I'm getting a call on the other line. I've got to look and see if it's my boss. Hold on just one second.
Oh, sure.
So sorry about that.
No worries. I was sitting here. I have the computer all outside of the room, so I was like, once I just put on hold, I'll just wait here for a little while.
Yeah, no, I've got one of those Android phones, and I've had this phone for over a year, and I still can't figure out how to answer a call on the other line. I can do that, but I can't get back.
Yeah.
There's like a manage calls button, but it doesn't do anything.
Well, it shouldn't be there then.
I know, technology.
Mm-hmm. And you work in a tech company. What gives?
I do, and I'm working on Android applications as we speak. Go figure.
Shame. So you can be on Metafilter all day.
I can be on Metafilter all day. It is kind of fun to do that. I mostly work from home, too, so I have that unique... you know, gift of being able to work in a place where nobody but me can see my laptop. So
yeah.
I can be on Metafilter as much as I like.
That's nice. We just moved buildings, the company I work at, and I had a great spot, which was like at the end of like a, not really a hallway, but a, I had three walls going for me.
Yeah, and now you don't?
Nope, but now I'm right by a window, so give or take.
Windows can be bad, though.
They can be.
I mean, everybody's like, oh, I want a window, or I want to look outside. But it makes it really difficult to work sometimes because it's too bright, or you hear sounds from outside, which is why I never go into the office. Mm-hmm. Our office is, like, in downtown San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and it's just above Powell Square, which is, like, the epicenter for busking in San Francisco. Oh, so there's, like... the trumpet dude, there's the dude that plays drums on Buckets, like a one-man band dude that, like, when he, like, stamps his foot, it does a cymbal, and he, like, ugh.
And the escape artists and all those?
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. Like, I've gotten to the point where I actually write notes to them and take them down and put them in their guitar cases and things like that.
What, like, you should try practicing more?
Yeah, or, like, please don't play that song again. There's a guy who's, like, he does singer-songwriter versions of, like, top 40 songs, and mm-hmm. he's always playing that Maroon 5 song that I never need to hear that again. Like, it's the one, like, she will be loved, like, over and over and over. And because people are constantly walking by, like, they don't know that he plays that song every three songs.
Right. They think, they think, great, this is great, San Francisco's great, now back to Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. And they only have to hear that song for, like, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I work upstairs, I hear that song maybe 30 times.
So you get to hear it from the building then?
Yes.
Okay.
If I'm sitting at my desk, I look outside and can see this dude playing. And he plays maybe five different songs, but that Maroon 5 song is the worst.
Well, it's the worst in general. And then him playing all the time.
Yes.
Well, I can see why you'd work from home.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me crazy. It makes me, like, really hate humanity.
So this is not the man that, if aliens come, we don't give the aliens him saying, judge humanity on this fellow.
No, I mean, I respect that he's like a musician or he's trying to make a living at it, whatever. But, and he's entertaining people. Like, people are delighted. Like, people do come up and stand around and put money in his case. But I just can't be one of those people.
Right. You're in a unique circumstance. You are not in his target market.
Yeah, I tried to talk my boss into, like, some little fund, whereas we could, like, pay the buskers not to busk right at that particular spot.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought it would turn into some sort of extortion plan.
It would. It
and
totally
then we
would
have these people in our office all the time, and he's like, that's not good.
Can I get my $10 not being around here fund?
Exactly. No, I mean, and I thought it would be so worth it, especially for the trumpet guy, because the trumpet guy, he knows, like, five songs. But to make up for the fact that he can't really play, he plays like ornaments or diddles like around every other note. You know, so it just becomes really belabored. And like one of the songs is Moon River, which is a lovely song. But now I have to hate that song. I used to love that song. Now I hate it.
Can he play a little Spanish flea?
He plays like Sway. You know that Frank Sinatra / whatever Michael Bublé song.
Right.
He plays Moon River. He plays Amazing Grace, and he plays Autumn Leaves. Now I love Autumn Leaves, but now I have to hate it.
So really, all these folks trying to make, well, they can't. I don't even know how much they would make, like a living or enough for
beer at least.
Yeah.
I mean, they generally do have money in their little cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see tourists who come up and stand and, like, delight at it. But I hate it.
Well, you're right, too. You're right to hate it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So is there anything like that at your job that you totally hate, that you can't get over?
The windows always remind me how filthy my glasses get. Because at one point during the day, it just becomes, I can't see anything because there's dust all over there. Just the collective dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, about a month or two ago, we have some walking paths outside the back of the building. And it's like in between apartment complexes and stuff like that. And we got an email from our office administrator saying, hey, if you're thinking about walking, might not want to do it because there's someone driving around on the walking paths. And
really?
You think you'd lead with that rather than being coy about it. But that's beside the point. About 5 minutes after that, about 10 police cars were pulled up in front of the building with a guy with no shirt struggling on the ground. Because he had been...
It's all the shirtless people.
Yeah, well, you know, drugs make him hot. But,
yeah.
You know, our building is not close to any other buildings, so it's not like we see a lot of things going on. We have our parking lot in front of the building, and then, you know, across the street is another parking lot in another building, so we're not close to anything. So it's odd that something would actually happen there.
And because it happened once, now you feel like you can't go out there anymore?
No. I just, I'd like to see it some more, I guess. I'm inside a building. I can look out and say, that looks, I'm far enough removed from this to enjoy what's going on.
Hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, that's as far as the, outside noise gets. Otherwise, it's just bright.
So do you work in tech as well, or do you do something totally different?
Yeah, I send out marketing emails that I don't create. I just make the system go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's work.
So you're like an email server administrator?
Yeah, we'll say that. That's close enough.
Alrighty.
So I just, well,
yeah, I think we do some of that. I think we just won some business. Our company just won a bunch of business to do that, and I'm like, I don't want that project. I don't know a whole lot about email for some reason. It's just not something I ever spent time on.
I find the marketing aspects of it interesting, but I really don't have my hand in any of that. I just do what people tell me to do, and that is, you know, someone needs to make it happen, but. you know, not having any say in any of it is why you got to do podcasts and improv and draw comics and do all sorts of other creative stuff.
Yeah. That can be fun, though.
Yeah.
So you do improv, then, and draw comics and do all those other things.
You got it.
All right. I went to my first improv show a couple weeks ago.
Where at?
I was in New York City, and I can't remember the name of the theater. But hold on a second. I can find out for you. But I have an old coworker friend who is really into improv, and I was coming out to visit, and I was like, hey, what do you want to do? And he's like, well, I don't want to, you know, play tourist, so if you want to come out and just do what I do, you know, you're welcome to, you know, come along. And I was like, okay, cool, what are we going to do? And he's like, yeah, we're going to go see improv. And I was kind of worried that it was going to be like the Drew Carey-style improv.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which I think it just makes me feel uncomfortable because it's Drew Carey.
That's, you know, that's a very good point.
Yeah. So, it wasn't like that at all. It was, like, awkward and fun and just weird.
Yeah. Was it at the Upright Citizens Brigade?
No, it was not at Upright Citizens Brigade, but it was at another pretty big theater, pretty well known. I'm looking through my email now to try and find it. Yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to find it. I can find all these conversations where we're talking about improv, but I can't find the actual theater. But it was good. It was awkward, and it was fun, and it was a lot like watching that show by Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot like that. It was that style of improv.
I like that.
Like, where it was funny but uncomfortable, awkward. But not the Drew Carey style of uncomfortable, awkward.
Yeah, not the, oh, this is too, I bet my grandparents would love this, kind of.
Yeah, no, my grandparents would have hated this,
yeah.
What I went to see. Yeah, it was really good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the improv has things going against it, being the most prominently known two items are the improv comedy clubs, which people think, oh, you do improv. Which means they think you do stand-up because that's what the improv clubs are called. Or the improv comedy club is a stand-up club.
Yeah, I mean, there were parts of it that were funny, but...
Mm-hmm. And then you got Drew Carey.
And then you have Drew Carey, which is... Yeah. Ugh.
And that's
ugh.
Where, that's your starting point. It's like, have you ever seen... I have to. Have you ever seen Whose Line Is It Anyway? Oh, yes, we love that. Well, kind of like that, but, you know, with some...
not at all.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think it's easier to describe as, like, theater that's just made up as you go along, rather than jokey, gamey kind of...
Yeah, it was definitely not a jokey game. I saw the act was by this, I don't think they're married, but I think they're a couple, called Megaloo.
Megaloo.
M-E-G-A-L-O-U.
Okay.
And, like, the girl's name is Meg and the guy's name is Lou. And they call themselves Megaloo. But, I mean, it was good. It was pretty fluid, and it was fun. And they switched the scene a lot, and it then became kind of like a meta scene, because they kept switching the scene to different characters that they talked about. So then you got kind of like this well-rounded view of these people's world, even though it was only two people. It was the weirdest, fun, weird. But anyway, it was good.
I like it.
So,
yeah.
That sounds
like you found good stuff.
Yeah, I did. I was lucky. So they also fed me barbecue that night, and I was happy about that.
they fed you barbecue?
Yes, they fed me barbecue.
Okay.
My friend who took me out.
Mm-hmm. Bound your hands and forced forkful.
Brisket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Brisket. Tons and tons of brisket. It was very good.
Nice.
So it's interesting to me that you would be afraid to talk to strangers, but in doing improv, there's even less boundaries on where you can go because you're not even talking about things in reality. Like, you're talking about things that come from your imagination. And then the person you might be performing with could be a stranger.
Yeah, it's true.
And then there's people watching you, which is even more, like, nerve-wracking. But here, I mean, even though it's a podcast, nobody's watching.
Right. Well, it's the... Well, it's not so much worrying about what people will think when they hear it. It's the actual interaction. That's the most nerve-wracking part. But for improv, now I've lost my train of thought. That happens too. In improv, when you're doing this one-on-one stuff, you're worried that people will be judging you as a person. But on stage, you're not necessarily, you're playing characters and you're doing this and you're working off your wits, I guess. That's not a good explanation either, but that's, I guess, as good as it's going to get right now.
No, that's fine.
You're in a contract with the audience. They've come to see you do your thing. Whereas, if you're in a conversation with someone, maybe it's like, they keep looking at their watch because they want to get out of here or whatever. But here, in improv, you've got a captive audience that suppose they could walk out, but they usually don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when I'm talking with people, especially at work, like the thing that freaks me out the most is that I could be talking to a client or a vendor or whatever, and they could just be kind of a rotten person. And that they could turn on me, like, in the call, which happens at work sometimes. Like, sometimes you have a client or you have a partner agency that you're working with, and, perhaps they want to, be viewed as more important or smarter or better than you, or there's some competitive vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what I dread when talking with strangers, because I don't know. Are they going to be an asshole or not?
So more the status or the politics of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. And, sometimes you just get on a call with somebody who's clearly an asshole, and you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it, because they're a vendor or a third party or something, and they're just, dragging you through the mud or just making you look like an idiot to your client.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess my rule is just you just can't engage in that. You have to stay above that. No matter how bad it gets, you can't play dirty. And I don't know if that's just a rule in business or if it's my rule or what. But those are the ones that I really dread.
That sounds no fun.
Yeah, no, it's no fun. It happens maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But after those events, it's you need a drink.
you should just go down, meet up with the trumpet guy and say, let me buy you a drink. And let's really chat about.
No. I'd go downstairs and murder the trumpet guy.
Maybe if you really got to know him, maybe he's a really cool guy who lives in a studio apartment.
No, haters gonna hate. I'm not gonna join in that idea that we're all humans. No, he doesn't deserve to die, but I mean, he certainly deserves to not play the instrument.
Right, and you just want to murder him is all. Just a little murder.
It's just a little murder of mostly his trumpet. I mean, and that would be sad because a trumpet in good hands is a wonderful thing.
Right.
But,
imagine if you could do it like a cartoon where you could just bash his face into the ground, but it doesn't hurt him, but the trumpet gets stuck back in his throat.
And
pops out the other side.
No, I'm trying to be better than that. I normally hate, but I'm trying to draw the line at murder.
Right. I'm not saying murder. I'm saying,
or physical aggression.
Go into a cartoon world where it would look adorable if you smashed a trumpet back.
I don't think that really looks adorable, though.
And then you'd look at the camera and blink twice and go blink, blink.
No, I think my fantasy mostly revolves around going down there and bitching him out and then stealing his trumpet and then giving it to some underprivileged kid. Who all they want is a trumpet.
Uh-huh. And then they give
that's within
2 months.
The best part, my husband plays trumpet,
mm-hmm.
and the only time he ever plays trumpet is when he's been drinking, and it's such a horrible thing. It's such a horrible, if we're going to talk about bad trumpet playing, my husband's probably the worst. But because I only hear him play it when he's pissed drunk, and it's kind of funny then.
Right. So you are surrounded by no good trumpet whatsoever.
No, there's no good trumpets anywhere.
Home front, city front. If you went to a jazz club, I bet it would be horrible too. You have a curse.
Yeah, I might not be able to enjoy it anymore.
Yeah.
Come to think that it ruined on it. This busker dude, he's ruined the song Autumn Leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my favorite jazz songs of all time that now I cannot listen to. And if I went to some jazz club, I would probably just sit there and be reminded of the bus fare and get angry.
Oh, man. Did you piss off a gypsy or something?
Did I piss off a gypsy?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, maybe. I wonder.
I mean, it's an oddly specific curse. But I guess that's the way you'd want to do it. You want to find something that, if someone said, "I curse you to never hear," this is the gypsy voice, of course. "I curse you to never hear good trumpet ever again." And you go, "I don't. Who would care about that? I don't care."
Until you start caring.
Yeah, and then it happens. This is pretty good, actually. That's a good curse.
Yeah. It's pretty sad, though, because, I mean, I used to really love trumpet.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a pretty decent jazz collection.
Well, it's sad for you, but it's as far as curses go, it's a pretty well-thought-out, nuanced curse.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I found out what theater it was. I finally dug around in my memory box, not my email box. It's the Magnet Theater.
The Magnet Theater. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I'll pretend
it's in Midtown.
All right.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, they have like a really cute website, but they don't really have anything online. So you can't really, I mean, they have all these pages for the different ensembles, but they don't really have any good video.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the downfall of smaller theaters, is they don't really have the either the time or the ability to make things look nice and flashy and get you all the information you want and really focus on a social media strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something interesting the other day. I think I can't remember what, maybe it was Merlin Mann or somebody, but there was like some comment that some social media marketer had made on Twitter along the lines of like, you know, being genuine is like the cornerstone of your social media strategy. And like, here's how to use a genuine voice. And like, here, link to my essay about being genuine with social media. And I think Merlin Mann's comment was something like, if you have to state that being genuine is part of your social media strategy, I'm pretty well certain that you're not being genuine.
Yeah.
If you have a social media strategy at all.
When's that guy's book coming out? He's been writing it for a couple of years now.
And that's so funny, because isn't he, like, the getting it done kind of a guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He's supposed to be, like, finishing things and advising us on how we can, you know, get things done faster.
I know. I need him to tell me how to do more things better.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well,
maybe it already came out and we're just ill-informed.
But
I can't say I totally keep track.
Yeah, his 42 folders is updated so sparsely.
43 folders. 43. So apparently I do keep track.
Well, it's like a radioactive half-life. It keeps diminishing as time goes on. So yeah, 43 folders. Yeah, it's like once a month, and everything that goes up there is interesting. It's like one of his talks at a conference or something, but yeah, they're so
I don't know.
Few and
I read about that whole like getting things done and doing it well, and you know, I'm just like, ugh, why do I want to do that? I'm a big fan of half-assing it.
I am very good at half-assing, but I also it's the improv and the scaredy pants personal conversation thing. It's, you know, I'm procrastinating. Good with the tongue. I'm a procrastinator, but also I also have like 20 projects up in the air at the same time. So I get a lot done, but also I don't get a lot done. It's a horrible yin and yang kind of thing that doesn't quite even out.
I'm really good at starting the project and coming up with the idea, but I can't do anything beyond that.
Yeah, if I have a good idea, it has to get done. If I'm excited about an idea, it happens. But whether it keeps going, that's the question.
Yeah. I made like a web blog for my best friend's daughter who just turned 4. And I was like, what if I had made this website that was just for her with like all these cool things that are just for her? And yeah, I did it for like a month. I'm looking at it now. I made like 12 posts and then I quit.
I started up, and I can still keep going on this, but I got a, haven't written on there for a while, but a blog about creative productivity. And that, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's here or there. It's hit and miss. It's stagnating. It turned into I kind of had it out with someone who does Snipe advertising up here in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. As just putting up road signs, or signs by the side of the road and stuff like that. Illegal advertising on public property. And I got into kind of a pissing match fight with him, saying, you know, you're not supposed to do this, over Twitter and stuff like that, and publishing it on the blog. And eventually.
Oh, wait, so the dude was doing the advertising, not you?
Yeah, yeah. And I said, stop this. You can stop this now. Because most of them don't have, like, their real email or real phone number or anything on there. But this was a local company.
So what was the advertising?
It was a boot camp.
Oh, like a fitness boot camp?
Yeah. Yep. And it was what really got my goat is he put it up right by the Walker Art Institute up here in Minneapolis. And if you're putting crappy looking signs right by the art center, then, you know,
you're gonna like take this guy to town.
Right, yeah. And it you know
you're a busker.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He litters up, not my ears, but my eyes with his horrible, crappy signs.
So where's it gone? So you started up a website about this dude?
No, I had the productivity website, but I also had a website called Hey, I Found Your Sign, where I just took pictures of the signs I pulled out of the ground. Like, hey, it looks, seems like you forgot this on the side of the road. I found it for you.
Would you like it back?
Yeah. So, you know, it's the website is just kind of a productivity / all my different projects kind of updates. And so I figured, well.
I think I found it.
Oh, yeah?
Snow removal in July.
Snow removal in July. Those bastards.
Yeah, no, it looks like you pointing at signs.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, this is so funny.
But yeah, I did a the blog is called Hardest Working Lazy Guy, which is ha wo la gu, just the two first letters of each word. So I started documenting my battle with this fella on the website, and he eventually started sending threatening emails like, "This needs to stop. I will be forced to take action." I don't think he ever said sue necessarily, or I think he said take legal action. And that never happened. Eventually, I got got the local newspaper to write an article on it, and then what do you know? He stopped.
Oh, this is awesome!
Yeah,
Sergeant Peterson's boot camp.
Yep, that's the fella.
Oh my god, this is so much fun! You're totally trolling this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted him to stop. If he had stopped, we wouldn't have a big ol' issue. But he.
This is funny. Oh my god! This is great.
Uh huh. He was so entitled. So entitled.
Oh, that's so funny. You should start teaching this class.
I put on a disguise.
He knows what you look like now too, right?
Yeah. I'm
my favorite thing is his signature. His signature and his emails are like,
oh yeah, the
longer than emails.
What is that? The honor and what's it? I forget.
I love his job title is visionary.
Yeah, visionary. That's it. That's like, you know, calling your social marketing scheme being nice and personal.
Oh my god. You know, I like to, you know, I used to be kind of a troublemaker when I was younger, and, you know, I married a really nice guy, so over time, I've just become a nicer person in general,
mm-hmm.
But this is triggering, like, I kind of want to go and do bad stuff now.
Well, this is, you want to do bad stuff?
No, like bad stuff, yeah. Like trolling people.
Uh-huh. Well,
like annoying people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you can either, you can pull up signs. You can always get some, what's fun is getting the spam emails, the 416, you know.
Oh, yeah, the getting the nice areas to do things for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good time sink troublemaking project.
I think my best trolling experience, I was dating this guy, but we were more like friends, and he was a really great writer, and he used to put like ads up on Craigslist all the time because he was kind of a male slut.
What?
Yeah, he was kind of a male slut, which, you know, we stopped dating each other, but we stayed friends.
Uh-huh.
And he used to write these really great personal ads, and one day he writes to me, he's like, I can't believe this guy is like, he's copying all of my personal ads, and for some reason he can like find all my personal ads like on Craigslist, and he's like taking all the good stuff that this guy wrote and then like reposting them as a new person essentially. And so we were like, okay, we gotta like troll him, we gotta get him. And so I wrote to the guy like as a girl, which I am, I'm a girl. I was like, oh, you're so great, and you know, like, I mean, I'm reasonably attractive, not crazy attractive, but I found like a really ridiculously hot picture of some random chick and sent it to him. And I was like, let's go on a date. Like, I'm totally hard up and totally want to like date you. And you're like, ah, yay, let's get together. And essentially I implied that we were going to do it. And okay. So the guy was like, yes, yes, yes. So what we did is I had a meet. I figured out where he lived. Like, what neighborhood do you live in? Oh, I live in this neighborhood. So I picked a place on the opposite side of the city. And I said, let's meet here. And I went, but I went like with a couple of other friends, and we were sitting at a table on the other side of the restaurant. So we see the guy show up, and we see him get impatient and whatever. And then that's when I call, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm running late. And like, hey, I'm actually on the way other side of town, so you should come and meet me here because it's going to take me forever to get there and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we all went to the other side of town to this other restaurant, and he followed. Like, he went there too. And so we were like, hey, you know, oh my God, am I late again? Oh, sorry, I got confused. And I went to the other restaurant, which is the place we were at before.
Uh-huh.
We got the guy to drive across town like 4 times.
Yowza.
And like, yeah, yeah. And like each time, I would just get a little bit sexier on the phone. Like, oh,
to
God,
keep him
I'm
on
so
the hook.
Sorry. Exactly. So we kept him on the hook for like 4 transfers before he realized that he was being messed with. And it was so fun. Like, it was so liberating, that experience, to just get somebody back, but in a reasonably harmless way.
Right. Yeah. Just messed up a night, not a lifetime.
Yeah. No, I'm not really into the illegal things.
Right. Yeah. 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 I think,
and I see you're kind of against illegality as well.
Right, yeah. You know, it's you have no real stance on, I was going to say justice, like a real hero or something, but you know,
I might very well be a psychopath.
Yeah.
Because I don't really care.
No, it's true. It's true. But you know,
I mean, I don't want to go to jail, so I kind of leave it at the illegal line.
Yeah, you know, you're a step above Dexter.
Yeah, I'd like to think that. Or at least, I mean, I am now. Not at that time.
Right, but you got better. I think my favorite trolling experience was there's a Minneapolis improv message board that, back before Facebook, was really hopping with people. And everyone would write these dumb articles whenever a celebrity died. So like, RIP, whoever. And so I thought, I'll just make up that Henry Winkler died. And then that'll be funny. So I said,
but Henry Winkler is kind of like somebody that people like.
Yeah, well, yeah. You see, he was in the public eye because of Arrested Development. And, you know, it was just someone people were aware of, but not like this mega celebrity. So they wouldn't, it wouldn't be splashed up on the front page of like CNN if they checked real quick. So I just said, RIP Henry Winkler, complications from diabetes, blah, blah, blah. And then just outpouring of like, oh, no. And then like an hour later, people started going, I told my coworkers that Henry Winkler died. And they were like, no, he didn't. And so it started, people just took it as fact that Henry Winkler died and just started telling people that Henry Winkler had died, but no one bothered to check if it was actually true.
So I think this is kind of a popular practice on the internet these days, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a whole big thing about Bill Cosby? Like somebody had said that Bill Cosby had died and mm-hmm. it spread all over the internet.
Listen, this was
maybe you were like the first.
This was back before Twitter.
Yeah, no, so I'm suggesting maybe you were first.
Well, if I had written first, then I probably would have been first. But someone else probably wrote first. So, yeah.
The emails from Timothy Peterson.
Yeah, those are the... Yeah, if he was...
I love how he says thank you after every email.
Yeah, you know, just the
thank you for trolling me.
Right. It's the...
Oh.
The, you know, if I say all these stern things, but then act cordial at the very end, certainly I'll be coming off as a good guy.
Yeah, I love it. And he's like threatening you. He's like going to take swift action.
Yeah, swift action.
Or he's going to come up with a method that you will not enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Like, making you exercise.
Right.
He's going to come to your house and yell at you.
You're gonna have to be more specific, mister.
God, this is great. God, I wonder whatever happened to this dude. Do you ever check in on him from time to time?
From time to time. His boot camp is still running. And he has gone back to also work as an army recruiter. So, I don't know.
Yeah, his Twitter feed with a giant photo of him in uniform is kind of freaky.
He also, his buddy owns a bar half a block from the improv theater I perform at. And he's there quite often. I've never seen him in person, but we've been within a half a block of each other several times.
Would he recognize you on the street?
He might. It's possible.
Scary.
He's a very serious person, from what I understand. Yeah, you know, it might be a mistake to be messing with a tough guy, but, you know.
His blog is great. He has posts about healing energy and chakras.
It's...
And protein shake recipes. Oh my God, this sounds like the kind of person I hate.
the whole healing nonsense. Acupuncture does this, healing touch does that, take bee pollen, blah 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 blah.
Cannot deal with people like that.
And you live in California.
This brings me to something I've been thinking about for a while in terms of projects that you think of that you don't really start and never go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to start something called a revenge guild. Revenge guild. That was just like my name for it. But essentially, it's people who come together, probably in a meeting that looks a lot like an AA meeting, like, you know, in a church basement.
Uh-huh.
You know, it would be great to do it in a church, too.
With lukewarm coffee.
You know, we're all sitting there with the metal folding chairs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar to Alcoholics Anonymous in the sense that nobody knows anybody else's name.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody comes and they put like on an index card, like the name of somebody who has done something really, really bad and maybe what they did. Like, my ex-wife had sex with my best friend and stole my dog and like, rah.
Mm-hmm.
And I got depressed and I lost my job and blah, and puts it into like a big fishbowl and they all get mixed up and each person takes a card, reads it, studies the person. And then there's an agreement that stranger then goes out to like enact some sort of revenge against the target.
Right.
But because there's no connection between person A and person B who takes the card, that it could just be totally random.
So it's a strangers on a train kind of situation, but with more organization.
Exactly. Slightly more organization.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not, I think it keeps breaking down because I don't want to be, you know, this illegal person encouraging people to do illegal things to each other.
Well, you'd have
and
to
I
set
couldn't
up
really
some...
come up with good revenge ideas that mm-hmm. weren't somehow illegal.
Yeah, you'd have to write up a charter or write up some boundaries and,
Yeah, like an agreement of some sort. But then, you know, you start writing that agreement and you kind of run out of all the good ideas.
You'd have to be selective about who is there.
You let in
too.
As well.
And that would be hard to check that, you know, there aren't just psychopaths who say, my neighbor Gary, you know, blah blah, always playing loud music. You know, well, that was a horrible example. Just someone they don't like, or someone they want to exact revenge upon without having anything have been done to them.
I think that's kind of unusual, though.
Yeah.
I mean, most people would have a reason.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying everyone's good at heart.
Everyone's at least, you know, in touch with humanity to some extent.
Uh-huh.
And
except
can reasonably agree not to, like, except for Trumpet Guy.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, like, I don't want to do anything illegal to Trumpet Guy.
All right.
I mean, I do want to steal his trumpet, but I kind of want to Robin Hood steal his trumpet.
give it to the needy
yes.
kid who dumps it 2 months later.
Yeah.
What would your secret, like, handshake be? You know, like, the Alcoholics Anonymous are the friends of Bill. Bill, is that right?
I don't know.
I think they're friends of Bill are some of what the meetings are. So what would you say to someone who you would check to see if they're in the same club as you?
I don't know. You see, I haven't really thought it through, and it just falls apart on the face of being so totally illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done anything about it.
So
go figure. I don't know. But I always thought it would be useful to have some sort of, you know, organized method of enacting revenge on somebody, but not being personally responsible for it, so it can never really be traced back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So your target generally just has a shitty day, and they don't know why. And they can never associate it with you, because you were never involved.
I think this might be called 4chan.
Oh, this might be called 4chan, you're right. I would love to be involved in, like, 4chan or something like that, but I'm not mature enough. Somehow it would turn on me.
How can you not be mature enough for 4chan?
What?
How can you not be mature enough for 4chan?
I know, it's like some people shouldn't own a stun gun because they'll end up stun gunning themselves.
Uh-huh.
It's that same principle.
The guy who got arrested in front of our building, a cop tried to stun him. But the cop accidentally ended up stunning himself.
Oh, was that awesome? Did he pee himself?
I didn't see. I only saw when he finally got him to the ground.
Yeah. Oh. No, I mean, I kind of want to stun myself, and that's why I'll never own a stun gun.
Yeah, it's if I go up to a high point, you know, I'm not suicidal, but what if my brain just said, let's jump off all of a sudden?
Yeah. Or, like, you know, you sit in the exit row of the airplane. It's that mm-hmm. whole concept.
Yeah, what if I just pulled that lever and pushed it out?
Did you know I found out that the plane is so pressurized in flight that it will do nothing?
Really?
You can't physically open the door when the plane is in flight.
Yeah.
Or above a certain altitude.
Unless you're Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible of some sort.
Well, that's why they call it Mission Impossible.
Mm. The mission is to open up an airplane door in flight.
No, I don't think it works. But yeah, I was comforted by that.
some crazy person or someone with a power trip couldn't just make
it
happen.
Yeah, and it always is some weird crazy person or Gerard Depardieu. Did you hear about that? About how you, like, peed on the plane?
Yeah. And that was the Anderson Cooper little... soundbite was him giggling to the Gerard Depardieu story.
No, I haven't heard that.
Oh, you should check that out. He's giggling like a little girl for minutes.
Yeah. The thing that I can't get out of my head, and of course I didn't make it up, but somebody once said, I'm sure it was on Twitter, but they were like, I've been waiting for years to say this, Gerard Depardieu. And I was like, that's so great. And so whenever I see that guy, you know, his face, in the media or his name or whatever, I'm like, Gerard Depardieu, don't do it. Don't pee on the plane.
At least he didn't Gerard Depardieu number two.
Gerard Depardieu. Doo.
Very good.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I Of all the internet clips in the world, I think my favorite is still the Trollololo guy.
Have you seen the Trollololo cat?
I haven't delved much into the memes that come off of it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. The Trollololo cat is essentially a cat on somebody's lap, this guy's lap.
Oh, yeah,
and when
yeah.
pets the cat in a certain way, the cat, who also looks like the Trollolo guy, does the little singing.
I have seen that. It just makes me so happy. It's so weird. It's so odd. Just the movements and the mouth not quite matching up. And it's not like you're watching a Godzilla movie. It's perfect. It's just perfect.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. I like it. I love sharing that stuff.
So what do you do when you're not project managing? What is the, and not listening to your husband play trumpets while drunk?
Okay. So let me see. I love being at home. I'm one of those people that just really enjoys being at home and specifically in the bed. So if I have free time, I'm at home or in my bed.
So are you reading, watching movies? What is the bedtime?
Usually watching stuff on the internet, mm-hmm. Something like that. And what else? We sail. We sail a lot.
Sail,
in
huh?
Illinois. Yeah. We decided, you know, we must be part of, like, the 1%, mm-hmm. and, you know, because we're like, oh, we love yachting, so and so forth. So I went to the Wall Street Journal calculator to figure it out. We're actually part of the 5%.
Say.
I know. Baller.
Nicely done. Pat yourself on
the back. I know. Exactly.
Wait a second.
But as my husband likes to say, that the 5% is still 4% of the 1%. Or
of the 99.
4% of the 99. Yeah. Anyway, he's a little bit more idealistic.
Listen,
but yeah,
I would think the 5% could get a trumpet guy to disappear conveniently.
Yeah, I think the problem is, you know, I could get rid of the guy, but he would just come back.
Or someone would rise up to take
form.
His place.
Or some other work. Like, yeah, no. It's not going to work. There's nothing that will get rid of the trumpet dude.
Right.
Trumpet dude is forever.
I have a aunt and uncle in San Francisco who also sail.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they live here in the city and they also sail.
Yep. They used to live...
Do they belong to a yacht club?
I don't know. Not sure.
Mm. But they have a boat.
They do have a boat.
Chances are I might know them.
That would be
and there's our connection.
Yep, we'll just assume it is.
Yes,
listen
that I know your aunt and uncle.
That's right. You are best friends.
No, it's reasonable to assume that we've been sailing at the same time in the same bay.
Right, yeah.
Because, presumably they have jobs and sail on the weekends.
I would assume they sail on the weekends. They work in television of some sorts. They produce and direct. Freelance stuff. So that's it's not a 9-to-5 kind of job, but let's assume you guys have been sailing at the same time.
Yep.
And that they probably cut you off when you had the right of way.
That happens a lot less than you think it does.
My uncle accidentally, he was sailing around in San Diego. And he accidentally cut off the U.S. sailing team.
Oh, really? And they had the right of way?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was embarrassing.
Yes.
So, of course, the family has disowned them because they shamed us.
Oh, really?
No.
No. You know what is fun, though, is when you're out sailing, like, in a regatta? And there are, you can imagine that maybe some of the regattas are entry level, meaning that like beginner sailors or people who haven't sailed together in them. And one of my favorite things is when I don't have the right of way, mm-hmm. I'll shout starboard as if I do. And it's like a little robot command. Beginner sailors will go, oh shit, and then they'll tack over. And then I will have the right of way.
Nicely done. All I know about regattas is that the out-of-luck country bumpkins always win it against the snooty golf club owners
totally
in movies.
True. The Nationals for my class of vote last year, I don't think this year, but definitely last year, was won by like an 89-year-old.
89-year-old?
Yeah, and I think he was single-handing too.
Yowza.
Yeah, like all these like really important, you know, people with nice votes who compete all the time were totally licked by like this 89-year-old dude.
That's a feel-good story.
Yeah, no, it was great. And you got like the prize for the Nationals in my class of vote is you get a whole new set of sails, which is, you know, a couple $1,000s for at least my class of vote.
Yeah,
but yeah, he totally won.
Do you listen to Radiolab?
Do I listen to
Radiolab? It's a.
I have listened to Radiolab.
Their most either the most recent one or the one before is all about the underdog and why people cheer for the underdog. It's and you know, psychologically and all that. It's interesting.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, that's why people root for that 89-year-old guy.
Radiolab not too long ago, I think.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe he was on The Moth. I can't tell.
Either good. Either one's good.
I get, you know, it's hard to tell them all apart. I mean, they're so good. Like, if you listen to Freakonomics or This American Life or The Moth or Radiolab, it's all kind of the same thing.
And here you are on Famous Internet Podcast.
Oh, my God. This conversation just got meta.
Lucky you. You're going to...
Oh, my God.
This is at least 20 times more popular than The Moth.
Is it really?
No. I think
no.
The Moth is in the 99% and I'm the lower 1%, maybe? That sounds about right.
Yeah, but in this sense, the 99% is bad and the 1% is good.
Right, exactly.
I got to keep track.
The majority is wrong.
It's now my next round of internet fame. Awesome.
Yeah.
I always get like notoriety for the most awkward things. Like the last little bout of internet fame, I'd written on Ask Metafilter because I was getting bullied on the bus as an adult.
Bus? What do you mean? By a group of thugs or what?
No, by like some older female nurses.
What?
I know, it was the weirdest thing, but I was living in Louisville. And I took the bus to work every day because the bus stopped right outside of my house and went straight to my office. So there was no other reason to drive.
Right.
And these nurses, they would come off of their shift right as I was going to work. And I think maybe they were menopausal. Maybe I'm just being a bitch by saying that. But they like to keep the windows open. And, you know, on the bus, if you open the window next to you, you get a nice little breeze. But the person, like, a few seats behind you gets the Arctic blast.
Yeah.
I was that person that was, like, always sitting behind them. And they always sat in the same place, and I always sat in the same place. So I would always get this, like, Arctic blast. And every time they got off the bus, I would get up to shut the window. And when I would get up to shut the window as they were getting off the bus, they would be like, oh, no, little Miss Thing is shutting the window. And, like, they would say rude things. And it turned into, like, them saying rude things about my clothes. And admittedly, like, I'm a little bit of a librarian in what I wear. Like, I wear, like, librarian-style clothes. But they'd be like, ooh, look at that weird skirt she's wearing. Like, they would say really, like, mean, rude things. And so I was really distressed about this, and I put it on Metafilter. And, like, apparently this was, like, such a weird question that it became instantly popular. And then it got reposted to Boing Boing. And I was like, oh, shit. I've just totally become internet famous for 5 minutes for being an awkward, bullied adult on a city bus.
Nice. That is really weird, though.
Yeah, it was weird. But the way I fixed it actually is I had a coworker come over and stay the night at my house, and we took the bus together, and she sat apart. Like, she walked up a few bus stops, so it looked like we totally didn't know each other, and we got on the bus separately. And as soon as the bus lady, the little nurse clatch, started, like, saying stuff, my friend, who was really baldy, she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. And, like, totally bitched him out for being rude.
Did that fix it?
It did, because they stopped riding that particular bus.
Really?
Yeah, so I bullied back some, like, menopausal nurses into riding a different bus.
They could dish it, but they couldn't take it.
Yeah, and my friend was a little scary.
Okay.
Yeah. She was kind of like one of those hard-living Southern ladies who was just, you know, a little grizzly. So she scared him. And it was great.
I don't know how this worked, but in high school, you know, we work in the tech industry. We know what we were like in high school.
Oh, yeah, I was very special.
Right. But in gym, you know, I was bullied all the time, or not beat up or anything, but just called names and stuff like that. And in gym class,
yeah,
there's one particular guy. I don't know. He always called me gay. And so I just decided, well, I'm just going to start coming on to him and see how that works.
Okay.
So he did not like that at all, but he didn't escalate it. He just kind of clammed up and shut up. So
did he find out later that he was gay?
No. No.
Oh.
That would be a much better end to the story.
Oh. Well, next time you tell it, you
okay.
can always say that.
I will add that in there. And it turns out he was gay.
Yes, see, it's so much better.
Yep, especially when I say it like that.
Yeah. Ooh, I have a good one.
All right.
So a couple years back, I was dating this guy. Actually, it was almost 10 years ago. I was dating this guy who worked at this company, and it was like an internet security company.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys who was, you know, super, you know, like the genius of the company, he wrote all the crazy algorithms or whatever. He was just kind of a weirdo, like maybe autistic spectrum disorder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, it was around the time that saying like, "You're smoking crack" was kind of like an insult that you would lob at somebody who said something outlandish,
mm-hmm.
you know, like funny, you know, they're not really smoking crack or like, what, you crackhead, you're smoking crack, whatever. So this became like really popular around the office to say this. And apparently the nerd dude, you know, the semi-autistic dude was actually smoking crack.
Ooh.
I know. Like he was actually smoking crack and was doing it secretly and had been doing it for like over a year. And he thought that when we were like, "Oh, you're smoking crack," that we were like actually coming onto him, like that we knew that he was smoking crack. And so it made him like increasingly paranoid. And he eventually like jumped off an interstate freeway, got hit by a semi, and lived.
Wow.
I know. And it was all because, I mean, the whole, you know, impetus, I mean, I'm going to say like the drugs had something to do with it, I'm certain. But, it was all because he thought that we knew that he was smoking crack, and that every day, you know, around the office, "Oh, no, you're smoking crack. No, you're smoking crack. You crackhead." You know, like, he thought that we knew. And so, yeah. But the moral of the story is that, or not the moral, because there's no moral. the nice, you know, ending of the story is that he, like, went to rehab or, like, mental hospital or whatever, and he eventually got better, and he reclaimed his career, and now he's, like, part of some, like, famous internet security council.
Nice. Weird story.
Yeah. I know, right? So, you know, you call somebody crackhead or you call somebody gay, and, you know, they might very well be gay or crackhead. So watch what you say.
Okay.
Maybe that's the moral of the story.
Watch what you say?
Maybe.
Well, but didn't calling him a crack addict or a crackhead bring things to... Didn't it help him hit bottom?
I think it did. But I regret that he hit bottom in such a crazy, you know, dramatic way. It would have been better if, you know, he'd just gotten arrested.
Yeah.
He didn't... Yeah. Like, it upped the ante of the paranoia to the point where he had to jump off of a freeway overpass. That's pretty extreme.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It would have been so much better had he just been, like, arrested for crack.
It's a better story, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't live, it would have been a horrible story, but he did live.
He lived. He
yep.
lived. So. And I think he's still alive. I think he's, you know, doing pretty well in his career or whatever.
Well, that's good. Now he's enough money for that crack again.
I know. But, I mean, crack isn't expensive, is it?
I wouldn't know. I have no idea how much any drugs would cost.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I don't think it's expensive.
Yeah.
Just judging on the clientele.
I'd be like, marijuana? That's, what, $50? I don't know.
Well, I mean, reasonably, you can buy any quantity of drug for any price, right?
That's true. It's all depends still, on how much you want.
My guess, though, is that crack is very cheap.
Yeah. All right. Crack is crystallized cocaine. Is that right?
I think so.
So.
Or it's, like, synthesized or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the crystal. Yeah, I don't know.
I think this would be really funny to anyone who does smoke crack. Just two folks trying to figure out what's in crack who have no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think crack is made from cocaine and clouds.
I think it's made from the residue that happens when, like, bums pee on the street.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the concrete absorbs it. And then, no. I have no idea.
I think when a unicorn cries and it's mixed with bird poop, that's crack cocaine.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
So what do you think that guy was on at your office building? Like crystal meth or something?
Yeah.
Or was it
I would assume it's meth. That
seems like a super popular thing?
You're
now
smoking
in your
meth?
Area?
Oh, thing?
Like, is Minnesota ravaged by crystal meth?
I don't think it's ravaged, but there are enough places where it could be made. You know, it's a metropolitan area, but you go out, you know, 30 minutes and you're in, like, the second ring of suburbs, and then you can find a farmhouse or something. You know, we got helicopters flying around, or police helicopters that fly around with the heat-seeking? Just the infrared kind of, they can see what a lab looks like. There's plenty of place for a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
People just need drugs that don't mess them up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here, like, in San Francisco and Silicon Valley, like, a lot of people do smart drugs. Like, a lot of people have, like, Adderall prescriptions, mm-hmm. although they don't actually have ADHD. Or, the one that's really popular right now is that there's a medicine that they give to narcoleptics that keeps you awake, but allows you to sleep at the same time.
Really?
Like, you can take medicine, and it keeps you awake or whatever, but if you needed to go to sleep, you could go to sleep just fine. And it doesn't have any of that, like, speedy after effects.
Didn't anyone
lot of people take it.
Didn't they learn anything from Saved by the Bell?
Apparently not. But, yeah, it's really popular amongst, like, tech executives and things, like, especially people who work at startups and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'll drink a Red Bull to really get my juices flowing, get those creative brain cells going. But that's, you know, that's not really anything. That's just like a can of soda with some extra crap in it.
Yeah. Did you ever try Four Loko?
Mm-mm. We still have it up here.
We still have it here, but they've changed the formulation.
Ah.
But I got to say, I was hanging out with some of my nerdy friends, and we all thought it would be really fun to go and get some Four Loko, because we're obviously not the Four Loko drinking type people.
Right, yeah.
And it was right around the time that it was all in the news, and it was like, they're going to ban it, and we're like, oh, we better do it now. And so we drove up and down the coast. We were, like, we were having, like, a vacation together out on the California coast. We drove up and down the coast looking for Four Lokos, and we got, like, every flavor. And we tried to, like, pair it with cheese. It was bad.
And you tried
to
what?
Like, we had, like, a Four Loko tasting party, I guess, where we tried to, like, pair it with nice cheeses that we bought at a goat farm. It was really bad.
What?
Yes, but anyway, we got totally trashed on Four Lokos. And that stuff is amazing, I gotta say. Like, the original formulation.
So it's just some crazy mix of caffeine and alcohol? Or what's
yeah. It has, like taurine, guarana, like, all the stuff that's in Red Bull and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and plus, like, it has the same amount of alcohol in one can as there is in, like, a bottle of wine or something like that.
Oh, geez. All right, that'll get you trashed.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, like, when you're drinking, there's that point where, you know, you kind of run out of steam. You're like, oh, I gotta go to bed.
Uh-huh.
Like, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
And so you just stay up, and the night just keeps getting weirder and weirder and weirder. But the people that we were hanging out with, totally nice couple. Unfortunately, the husband in the couple started having this weird reaction. And I don't know if it was him or the Four Loko, but it just started making him, like, compulsively lie.
That's weird.
Like, he just, I know. And so, like, we stayed up until, like, 4 o'clock in the morning listening to this guy, like, tell us more and more outlandish stories about, like, how his dad was a Hell's Angel and, like, tattooed him when he was a baby. And we're like, oh, yeah, show us the tattoo. And he's like, oh, it faded off. It's not here anymore. Like, or, like, the same dad who is, like, you know, the Hell's Angel and a 1%er and had murdered for his motorcycle club was also, like, this super decorated army dude who used to have his finger on the button, like the D-Day button. And I'm like, what? And it went on and on and on and on and on, like, just the lying. And so we just never hung out with him again. It was really sad because, you know, you like to think that if somebody does something stupid while they're drunk,
uh-huh,
that you'll forgive it and get over it. And you're like, oh, they were drunk. We just don't drink with them again. But yeah, no, it just got so weird that we were like, we don't know what's true. We don't feel comfortable. Can't hang out.
Man, one night with Four Loko.
I know. Don't do it. But do it. Do it. You should definitely do it.
I am the guy. Well, what? I'm 32 now. I'm not that guy. I'm not any sort of guy. But back in college, when the drinks were flowing, I was always the guy when shit started going down. It's like, better sober up and take care of everyone else.
Oh, really? Like, give me your keys, man. Give me your keys.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. I don't know. I'm always the one that amps it up a bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I always want to take it to the next level.
That would be...
You know, not in terms of, like, driving drunk.
Right, right.
Or, like, having, like, date rapes or things like that. But, like, doing crazy outlandish things.
Mm-hmm. You would be...
My new thing is, like, I like to wind up my husband. I like to get him a little drunk and then wind him up a little and then, like, get him to do weird, bad things with me. Because he's such a nice guy. He would not conceive of this stuff while sober. But, like, last weekend I got him drunk. And I suggested to him that we should get some live animals, like, at the Chinese supermarket.
Live animals at the Chinese supermarket?
Yeah, like, they sell frogs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and, like, live crabs and things like that. And that we should get these and bring them home and give them to our cats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so we did.
Okay.
We got these, like, these weird blue crabs that were, like, totally alive. And then we gave them to our cats. And we thought it was going to be, like, this battle drone, but it really wasn't.
Uh-huh. Did they just bat them around and then go to sleep?
Yeah, well, the cats, like, smelled them. They were really curious, and they, like, touched them a few times with their paws and then, like, chewed on the antenna of the crab and then, like, they left the room.
That was the least successful goading on.
I know, but it was pretty funny, like, to take photos of it while it was happening.
Yeah,
because I thought it was going to go down, but it totally didn't go down.
You never know what a cat's going to do.
Nope.
You bite this wonderful crab. It's like, this is going to be great, and the cat doesn't care.
No, the cat did not care.
But
not at all.
You drop a fucking scrunchie on the ground, and it goes nuts.
Oh, and we found out recently, I was sick a couple weeks ago, and my coworkers, being nice people, they sent me, like, flowers and had, like, a big Mylar balloon that came with the arrangement, like a big floaty balloon, not one on a stick.
Right, right.
And I noticed, like, after a day that one of our cats just seemed to be losing his mind. Like, he was cowering in the bathroom all the time. We're like, what is up? Is he sick? Like, we were constantly trying to investigate. And, like, anytime we touched him, he would, like, yowl at us. And we're like, oh, my God, our cat's dying, or he's lost his mind. And we figured out that it was the balloon.
He was
fucking terrified of this balloon. Like, totally, totally terrified. It took him a couple of days, even after getting rid of the balloon, for him to be, like, comfortable in the living room again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, do you have cats?
Yeah, I've got two cats.
You should try getting them a balloon.
We had a balloon when they were little, and we would attach stuff to it, like a string, and just kept shortening it the less in helium it got. But it just floated around, and they kept batting at the string. It was like this little floating dirigible toy. It was nice.
Oh, so he wasn't afraid.
Yeah. They're afraid. They're scared of everything else, though.
So. Oh, yeah.
Anything new. Especially the doorbell. They just freak the fuck out.
like, who's coming over?
Yeah. Either the doorbell rings and you hear claws scraping against hardwood.
Oh, no, that's not a good sound.
No. They're like, I gotta get the fuck out of here before something goes down.
Before your friend comes over.
I've seen Gross Point Blank.
Oh, my God. So does the cat, like, do they get kosher after a while once the person's in your house, or are they just not cool with strangers?
They get fine with strangers, but usually it's just the UPS guy or, you know, someone who wants to sell us siding.
Oh, God. So you have door-to-door people.
We sure do. Haven't had any Jehovah's Witnesses, though. Although I've seen them around.
Mm. We have people that just leave things, like, on our front steps, because you can't really get to our front door. Like, in our neighborhood, it's all buildings that have apartments that have doors on the inside.
Yeah.
You'll just get, like, a million Chinese restaurant menus, or right now we'll get a million flyers for, like, political things, because we're electing a new mayor.
Right, right. Now,
are you guys electing a new mayor?
Nope, not until next, 2012? When do elections take place again? It's 2012.
I don't know. I mean, I think ours are happening soon. I think, like, on Tuesday.
Oh, well, are we? I should really pay attention. I just hate politics so much just because I hate it because
of power.
Oh, you know
what? It's happening today.
Yeah, today's the 8th, isn't it?
Yep, it's happening.
You better get out and vote.
No, I'm registered in Kentucky, and so I don't vote here. I vote in Kentucky.
You vote in Kentucky.
I do.
So do you get an absentee ballot then, or do you fly
back
to Kentucky?
I get an absentee ballot.
You sail to Kentucky, and then you vote, and then you sail back.
No, I don't do that. I get an absentee ballot. But, yeah, it's slightly more useful to vote in Kentucky.
Why is it more useful to vote in Kentucky?
Because my vote is actually, you know, saying no to evil people.
Okay.
Like, actual evil people who are running.
Right.
But, like, I have to say, you know, here in San Francisco, we've got, like, 16 candidates running for mayor. Because we have, like, a ranked choice system.
Oh,
so
nice.
You can say, this is my first pick for mayor, this is my second pick for mayor, and this is my third pick for mayor.
I like that.
But, yeah, and, like, aside from maybe one of them, none of them are evil.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sounds like good times for San Francisco.
I know. But, yeah, I mean, that's, like, California for you.
Yeah. I hate the irrationality behind politics, I guess. Just the, I believe one thing, and no one's going to change my mind, and I'm going to stick to that. And so whoever is like that is my choice.
Yes.
Just no listening by anybody on any sides.
Well, half the time, the things that they're saying are complete bullshit. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's How can you tell what they are saying is true? And that, you know, it seems like an old joke, like, oh, politicians are always lying. But they are always lying. They're just trying to get, it's a big job interview. They're always on a job interview. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Yes, it is frustrating. Or, like, at least here in San Francisco, it just gets more and more outlandish. Like, you'd think that, you know, with a mostly liberal city that, mm-hmm. you know, we'd all kind of agree on things. But, like, the things that we can disagree on just keep getting weirder and weirder. Like, I think last election there was, like, a circumcision ban. They wanted to ban circumcision in San Francisco.
Okay. All right. Well, someone watched a episode of Bullshit, I guess.
Yeah, I have no idea why this even got so far. I mean, let's just say, theoretically, if I were to have a boy child, which I'm probably not going to have kids, but if I were to have a boy child, I would kind of say, like, shit, I don't want to do anything to your pee-pee. Like,
right.
It's your pee-pee. It's yours. You can decide to do whatever you want with your pee-pee when you're old enough. I'm not deciding for you.
Right.
And so, you know, on some, you know, if I take apart, like, the religious arguments for it, you know, I don't want to be seen as disrespecting somebody's religious right to, you know, circumcise their child.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it seems like a kind of ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah, aside from
still,
the...
it seems like an even more ridiculous thing to put into some sort of legislature.
Yeah, to make a law. Yeah, people just want to be against things.
I don't know. Go figure.
Well, we've had a fine enough run when we had Jesse Ventura as our governor. He's gone
up. I mean, he actually got elected, didn't he?
Yeah. Yep, he did. That was fun not getting any roads built and infrastructure crumbled. That was a good time.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
He has gone off the deep end. Because they won't wave him through TSA checkpoints anymore, he has...
What?
He's
banned?
No, he has a military injury or something. He's got a plate something or somewhere.
Okay.
And they used to just, you know, wave him through if they got beeped or something. But they, you know, went through the steps that you would if you're a regular person. And he got pissed and has turned his back on America. He says he's moving to Mexico and he's going to turn his back whenever they start singing the national anthem.
Because they wanted to give him, like, an enhanced pat-down?
Yeah.
You know, I have to say the enhanced pat-down is not fun.
Mm-mm.
Like, totally not fun. I mean, it's happened to me a few times. But interestingly, I traveled all over the Middle East last winter.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you an enhanced pat-down in the Middle East. But when they do it, they really just feel like your abdomen looking for, like, bombs.
Okay.
And they kind of rationalize, if I can't see any bombs or feel any bombs on your abdomen, you're not trying to bomb us, so you're cool.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, they do this pat-down, like, to get into your hotel. They do it to get into, like, a bar or restaurant sometimes.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, like every time I left my hotel, I was faced with the idea that when I returned, that I had to put anything that I was carrying through like a metal detector x-ray thing. I had to walk through a metal detector, and then I had to get patted up by some woman in an abaya.
Interesting.
It was awesome.
Huh.
But the best part is, you know, it's done pretty quickly, and it's always done by women, and if you're a woman being screened, it's done privately.
Okay.
And so, you know, you're not getting felt up in front of a bunch of people.
Right.
And even better, in the airport, they separate the men and the women, like, as soon as you get into the airport. Like, as soon as you pass the ticket counter and start heading into security, there's a line for men, which is hundreds of people long, and then there's a line for women, which maybe only has, like, 5 people on it.
So it's the opposite of bathrooms.
Exactly. So I totally benefited from Bass Ackward's ideas about what women can and cannot do. So I got through that security line so fast. But on my return, I got held up in North Carolina, in Charlotte, actually, because of weather. And so I was stuck in Charlotte for a couple of days. But when I eventually flew out, I was subjected to this enhanced pat-down. And the lady, I'm not shitting you, she actually touched my vulva.
Your what?
Vulva.
Ooh, that's...
Do you know where that is?
Yeah. That's a
yeah,
little...
Yeah, it's like on the outside of the vagina.
Uh-huh.
And she touched it twice.
Twice?
Twice.
I think they call it an enhanced pat-down, so it seems like you're getting something extra out of it rather than...
I got something extra.
Did you tip her?
No, I didn't tip her, but I was a little miffed.
Mm-hmm.
It was really embarrassing too. And the best part, I guess, of the story, I was not wearing pants. I was wearing a skirt.
Okay.
So, when she went to do it, she took the skirt and like kind of jammed the skirt between my legs and then like kind of went up and touched the left vulva and then went up and touched the right vulva. And the best part, she, like, pulled her hand out, right? But she just jammed my skirt up into my badge.
What?
I know, in public. It was awesome.
I mean...
I was, like, seriously, like, I bent down and pulled the skirt out from the lady crevasse.
Right.
Yeah.
I can see people hiding stuff in their pants. But... You can feel that without making contact. You can just kind of float on your hands and go, oh, yep, there's a gun in the pants. We got it.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. I don't know.
You don't need to enter.
It was the creepiest thing. Yeah. It was super gross. I was like,
ugh.
That's gross. Yeah. It was pretty alarming. So good luck. I mean, have you had it happen yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I haven't flown since last year, but I was kind of, yeah. Nope, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, when they do, expect them to touch your testicles.
Okay, I'll keep some dollar bills ready just in case.
No kidding. But it's such an unnerving experience. So.
Yeah, I think it seems because it's in public mainly is the well, it'd be weird in private too.
It would be weird in private because then it feels a little bit more assaulty, you
Yeah,
know?
like they've
Yeah.
got you
And
trapped
she
and.
asked me too. She asked me, do you want to do this in private? I'm like, no, I want witnesses too. Like,
Oh.
if you're touching me, I want people to watch what you do. But yeah,
Oh.
I mean, like, what are you going to do? I mean, I wrote a little letter to the TSA and I said vulva, vulva, vulva over and over and over again in the
Oh,
letter because I was thinking that would make them feel uncomfortable. But yeah, now I got some stupid response.
thank you for your letter. We appreciate
Thank you for
anything you.
the letter. Yeah,
Yep.
I hate them. But yeah, I mean, and it seems to me that like in this day and age, with the amount of information that the US government has about me or like online or like whatever, you know, that they would know. But I'm not your girl.
Yeah, right. Don't, should we go all vulva deep on this one? No. No, she just,
No.
gets crabs for her
She's
cats.
normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I practice terror against trumpet players, but I mean,
Right, who doesn't?
yeah.
I mean,
But seriously, it's just the weirdest thing to think that, I mean, like, you guys really can't figure out that I'm not a terrorist and you don't need to touch my private parts. It worries me that they don't know that yet.
Well, yeah, but then you have to think that they don't have that much information about you, and doesn't that make you feel a little better?
No, I mean, I wish they knew.
You wish they
I
knew?
wish they had a, yeah, I mean, I wish they had a good idea of who were not the terrorists so they could spend more time actually looking at suspicious people.
Apparently you haven't seen Little Nikita, and you don't know anything about sleeper cells.
You know, sleeper cells, sleeper smells. But I mean, I just don't, yeah, no. Seriously, with the astonishing lack of privacy we have, that they can't figure this out.
Yeah,
It
you'd
worries
think
me.
there'd be some. Let's get this crack guy on the case. He can figure out some algorithms for who gets the vulva treatment and who doesn't.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, it's really sad. It's actually like, I mean, I don't like it, but in general, like, I can put up with it. Like, if my choice is like touch my vulva or I don't go to Hawaii, like, I'll let you touch my vulva in exchange for going to Hawaii. Like, the thing that's really upsetting to me, my best friend, her daughter, the one that just turned 4, totally delightful little girl. Like, now to see her, like, I have to travel across the country. She's never going to come here. She's never going to travel here with her daughter because she's so terrified that her daughter is going to be subjected to these practices.
That is sad. That's a weird choice to make.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't understand the whole parenting thing, but apparently your perspective changes and you get all bent out of shape. But her feeling, the mother's feeling on it is that it grooms children to be more vulnerable to sexual abuse by saying that, like, it's okay to let this person touch you when you don't want to be touched and to go through that. And her daughter is very shy and a little sensitive and whatever. And I do believe it would be traumatizing for her.
Yeah, I could see
So.
that. I would say maybe overreacting a little bit about getting the undersensitivity or being more susceptible than to abuse. But that's gonna scar a kid. Kids remember the weirdest things, and going through an
Yeah, and
airport and
then she's going
remember
to
the
have like some
time.
weird TSA fetish as she grows older.
Kids, yeah.
They don't remember things correctly
They don't, yeah.
either.
Nobody remembers anything correctly, let alone at 4 years old.
Yeah. So, oh, are you going to do like the Movember? Are you going to grow a mustache in November?
I didn't start from the beginning, so I have a beard going on, which I've never, ever, ever been able to do.
So you
So
have a beard without a mustache?
no, I've got it all. I've got the whole
Oh, okay. I
hole.
was about to say, because that's damn creepy. Like the
The
beard without a mustache?
chin
Ooh,
strap.
ooh. Yeah, the leprechaun beard. I don't like that.
That is ridiculous. I am Irish, but I don't think I'll go for the leprechaun beard. But I don't want to shave off any part of this because maybe it won't come back this time. At age 32, I've just gotten all the patches filled in. The whole face has got its act together now. And it's like, all right, let's do this.
That's nice. So you're going to be like bearded for the rest of your life?
I don't think so.
No.
Nah. But for now, in the cold Minnesota winter, let's see how it fares.
I got my husband to grow a beard last summer. I don't know why. I just totally couldn't shave anymore.
In the summer,
huh? And he was
like,
"Ah, I want to shave."
Did you have to keep him drunk all summer so he would keep growing that beard?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. He hates growing a beard because he gets really itchy.
It is super itchy.
And the itchy phase lasts for, like, I guess, an unreasonable amount of time as far as he's concerned. But I finally got him to do it, and he grew this, like, awesome beard. And we went to go visit my friend, the one with a 4-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
And we had it all planned out that, like, every morning he was going to shave off some part of the beard to make a new style of beard. And it was just, it was the most fun I've had, like, in perhaps my entire life. Like, waking up each morning and, like, him showing the new beard creation to the little 4-year-old daughter, she just freaked out every time. She was like, "Oh my God!" She's like, "Who are you?" And it was great. It was so much fun.
Man.
But the best beard ever was that we called it the Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
It was like a beard with like handle. It was a mustache with handlebars that went down to the bottom of the chin.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't have like a chop. Like there was no chop. Like there was nothing on the sides. It was just like this very cowboy-esque like mustache that just went down the sides
of
his face. All the way down.
So.
And it was really sexy.
That seems like
it was really good.
Seems like a biker kind of.
Yeah, it was very biker-esque. Yeah, we called it Red Dead Redemption. I don't know why.
Well, you know, cowboy video games.
Yeah, no, it was a fun video game. Hmm. But yeah, I tried to get him to do the Hitler mustache for our last day, which is also the day that we were going to go to the airport, but he wouldn't do it.
So the beard's coming in okay. And the mustache is a little sparse in places, but it's going gangbusters in the Hitler area. So it's the Hitler part of the mustache is looking right on, and then you know
the rest of it is looking a little John Waters.
Yeah, the rest is a little thinner right now.
Oh.
So if you look close enough, if you squinted, no. It's just, I could grow a great Hitler mustache if that was not ruined at all.
By Hitler.
Yeah. By.
He kind of ruined that mustache.
And Michael Jordan. He ruined the Hitler mustache.
Oh, yeah. What was up with that? Like, I saw, like, some Hanes commercial, and he's, like, rocking the Hitler stache. I'm like, what?
I could see someone snapping a picture of him if he was trying it out, but.
But he would do it in a mainstream commercial, just being like, "Whoa!"
Was it written into the contract, like choice of hairstyle, and they couldn't back out of it, or say, "Michael, listen, you remember when you tried to make a comeback with the Wizards and it didn't work? No, you don't have the power you think you do anymore. So how about you shave the Hitler?"
You know, he probably, like, had it worked into the contract somehow, like, without even thinking about it. This is a blanket, you know, choice of hairstyle, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in my mind, the Hanes people, because it is underwear, they probably made him do something embarrassing, like, for a commercial, like, in the past. Like, ooh, this one, you actually have to wear tighty whities and bend over or something like that.
So
and he was so butthurt about that he just found some weird clause in his contract that he could exploit and went there. But why Hanes would ever show the commercial is the part that I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, you'd think they paid for it. And they're like, well, we got to use it. We paid millions of dollars to use Michael Jordan. I guess we'll use Michael Jordan.
But sometimes it's so much better if you just don't.
If you don't want to ruin your brand's reputation by having Hitler on your commercial.
I mean, it's pretty well seared into my mind. Like, and I have a good memory and all, but chances are I would not have remembered the brand of the commercial if it had Michael Jordan in it acting natural.
Right. No
but because
press.
It has Hitler Jordan in it, I told it was like Hanes.
Yeah, Haynes all the way.
Haynes. Haynes Hitler.
They knew what they were doing. In fact, I think it was Haynes' idea to have the Hitler mustache.
You're totally going to get a takedown notice on this podcast.
From Haynes?
From Haynes.
Haynes and Sergeant Peterson will join forces and make me take down this podcast.
Oh, God, I love that guy. I kind of want to go and, like, learn everything that I can about that boot camp guy.
Go for it. He was a marketer in the military, which I find hard to believe.
Ew. I mean, they do have, like, web developers and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. But he just seems so bad at marketing. He sent out, you know, I don't want to get on this guy. You know, I just want the signs to stop, and he stopped it. So, good. I'll wash my hands of him. But he sent bags of pig fat to newspapers with a PR release. It's like, here's what a pound of fat looks like. Get healthy.
What?
Ziploc bags of pig fat.
What? And with a press release?
Yeah, for his boot camp.
Like they were going to publish this in the AP section or something?
I don't know what he was even thinking. What? How?
I mean, that sounds like it should be illegal, like sending like biological material through the mail to somebody who doesn't want to receive them.
I know, and I delve into it deeper.
Talk about harassment.
If I wanted, yeah, exactly. You're sending, that's carry shit right there. That's dropping pig's blood on someone almost. Bags of pig fat. But I don't want.
He really did this.
I don't want to get into it. I don't. I want to be done, because obviously he doesn't know what he's doing.
So my god!
I don't even want to touch it.
That's epic. That's so epic.
I don't even understand where he's coming from.
I wonder if he sends like. Never mind. I can't even go there. I'm not going to go there. Somehow there was like some weird analogy going with the dead pigs and like military recruiting, and I was like, no, don't do it.
Yep, keep
but
that.
Seriously, that's freaky.
Yeah, a little bit.
That has problems.
That's a disattachment from reality, almost.
Yeah, and all those empty threats.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, I was, I'll say I was, I. Nothing would come of it, but sure, I was a little concerned to be sued over nothing, because that's just going to be a waste of money on money and time on both of our parts.
Yeah.
It just seems...
But it could have been more fun.
Right, right. It seems
annoying. It would have been money well spent in terms of, like, entertainment value, I bet.
That's true. I mean, obviously, obviously at that point, I wouldn't back down, because I stand for justice.
You know, I find I can't back down ever.
No.
Like, if it comes to a pissing match, like years later, I'll be like, oh yeah, but I was right.
Right. When the photographer came for the newspaper to take my picture, he didn't know anything about what the article was about. And he was grumpy. And then eventually he learned what was going on. And then he was on my side. It was like, us Irishmen, we never back down from a fight, do we? He was buddy-buddy with me by the end of it.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah, we can't put the drink down, and we can't back down.
That's right.
Yes, neither of those things. Go figure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, my husband's Irish, but I guess he's more Scottish or British. I don't even know. His parents come from both of those places.
No,
so.
Somewhere over there.
But he can totally back down. He's like, oh, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I'm back. I have to be conscious of, like, I have to make a decision to go full in on something. Otherwise, I'll just let it go. Because I'm more apathetic than anything else. It's like, whatever.
I can't let things go.
I almost got beat up in a movie theater because someone brought their kids to a 9:30 showing of Spider-Man 3. And when I say kids, I mean like
infants?
Three kids age 3 to 6.
Okay. And were the kids misbehaving?
They kept jabbering throughout the whole movie. And so we shushed them. And eventually they started yelling at us. And luckily this was a busy night, so they had security there. But they had called their family for backup. So they were going to beat us up in the lobby.
Oh my God.
So we were escorted off the premises. Or they were escorted off the premises, and then we were escorted to our car. And, you know, sometimes backing down doesn't seem like such a bad idea.
No, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. My thing now, now that I live in San Francisco, the thing that really, aside from the busking, mostly it's just noises that happen outside of the building that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I live near the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood, which has a lot of, you know, kind of unwell people. So there tends to be a lot of, like, shouting or ranting or, I don't know, just general crazy talk going on the street outside of my apartment. But I've got this new hobby where I turn down all the lights in my apartment and they creep up to the window and I shout back. And I just say whatever, you know, comes to mind, like shut the fuck up generally, or like stop being so loud, or I'm trying to sleep or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't back down. I don't back down. And the other day it was going on. There was like some guy shouting and I started shouting. They were both shouting at each other. And I don't think he knew which apartment it was
okay.
coming from.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I was
all
gonna
jammed
ask.
In really close here. But my husband was going to go out and get something from the store at the same time. And so he's, you know, downstairs. He walks up to the store and he passes the guy on the way back. And the guy has like a can of spray paint. And my husband was like, oh no, this is the day. This is the day that, you know, our building gets spray painted
uh-huh.
because you're shouting at crazy people. And thankfully he didn't figure out which one was ours, and maybe the spray paint one was like totally unrelated. But still, I don't care. I'll paint over your spray paint. But I'm going to shout back. I'm totally going to shout back.
I've got a buddy who doesn't back down either. He will go to the hardware stores and he gets the unwanted paint that nobody wanted. And he just fills up his machine in the back of his station wagon. And
uh-huh.
he goes around and just paints over all the graffiti. Just this, you know, mixture of bland whatever colors. And just paints right over the graffiti. Like the instant it goes up. Because you can call the city and you can wait for them to come out and take photographs and then require the business owner to paint over the graffiti. Or whatever. And obviously the paint doesn't match the building, but he just goes out and, you know, takes it into his own hands. Because, you know,
wow.
if your graffiti is just going to disappear, your beautiful tag, you know, what do you got? And this is, you know, gang signs, not like murals that people put up or whatever.
Yeah, I was just about to ask if he has a line.
Yeah. Everyone has to have a line.
Yes.
What's yours?
I don't know.
I don't know. This probably would not be open to the general public, but I believe like 2 years ago, there was a billboard in New York, which had like a pinpointed audio device that kind of beamed noise into people's heads.
Oh my God.
It was
really?
It was for like a scary show. And it was like, do you believe? But and only the person it was aimed at could hear it, and no one else around.
Oh my God!
Right from the billboard. So
it sounds like a really bad idea.
Yeah, but you need one of
those.
That
would make me start doing crack.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you aim those at the people yelling outside your apartment building, they would have no idea where it's coming from, and maybe you could use it for good.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You probably wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't go so far, but yeah, no. But there is a good story for this, though.
Okay.
I used to live in a much more sketchy neighborhood. I used to live at, like, McAllister and Divisadero,
okay.
which is, like, the epicenter of crazy. Like, my husband used to say that people would come from other cities to come and shout in front of my apartment
okay.
on this corner. And to add to this, there was, like, a bus stop right outside of my apartment window. And so... there was this guy, and he did it, like, a couple weekends in a row. But, like, we'd be sleeping. It'd be, like, a Saturday night or a Sunday night or early in the morning on a weekend. And we'd hear, like, you ain't nothing but a dirty hoe. A dirty hoe. Like, he would just say it over and over and over and over again. And, like, we'd hear him fade away, and then we'd hear him kind of fade back in. Like, he was just walking around the block repeatedly saying this. And it was pretty loud. And when he first started doing it, I assumed that he actually was like telling off his hooker.
Right.
Like maybe she had a bad night or something. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're dirty hoe. Like, and then one day I looked out the window and like there was nobody behind him. Like, there was no limping prostitute behind him.
Right.
And so I thought, okay, so maybe he's on a cell phone and his prostitute is like down in the Fillmore or something. He's like telling her that, you know, she had a bad night. He's going to like come and kick her ass or whatever. But then I realized, you know, I saw him walking and he like was pumping his arms like as he was walking. So he certainly wasn't talking on a phone. And I didn't think he was the sort of guy to have a headset.
Right.
And like, he's just talking to himself. He's like caught in a loop. And so I decided to like, one day I was like, I can't take it anymore. And so I like threw open the window and I shoved my head out the window. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, he was doing the refrain, like, you ain't nothing but a dirty motherfucking hoe, you dirty hoe. Like, and I shouted out the window. I was like, don't fucking curse on the Sabbath. That's what comes out of my mouth. Like, what?
Did you know what you were going to say? Or was it just
no.
a spur of the moment,
no,
open the window and out it came?
Well, yeah, I didn't even know. I mean, it just happened so quickly that it just like, don't motherfucking curse on the Sabbath. And there's just this incredible change comes over him. And he suddenly like looks up at me and he's like, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry, ma'am, am I disturbing you? I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh, I'll be quiet. And I'm like, really? And I was like, not in the AM hours. Like, I said, like, I know you have to rant. Like, it seems like you have problems. But don't do it in the AM. Like, if you look at your watch and it's AM, you can't do it. And I was like, not about women. I don't know why this came out, too. But I said, like, don't be a fucking misogynist. And, like, stop shouting about women. Like, you come up with something else to talk about. And he was like, oh, yeah, ma'am, sure, ma'am. And, like, he was like, he suddenly became really friendly. And he's like, how old are you? And whatever. And I'm like, ugh. And so I'm like, you know, I got to go to bed. Just listen to me because I will come down there and fuck you up if you keep doing that. And I pop my head back in the window and I sit down in the bed. And this is when my husband looks at me, like his eyes are really big. And he like points and he points down at my chest. And I'm like, what? And I've worn like a men's dress shirt to bed, like an oversized men's dress shirt.
Uh-huh.
And my boob was out.
So you're just...
like, it was totally, one of them had escaped.
You're so wrapped up in what you're doing.
Yes. And so I'm shouting at this dude and like just giving him the one-eyed boob look the entire time. And I'm like, oh God, this is not a good scene. Why do I do this to myself? And so I was thinking like maybe I should back down or whatever. But I kept seeing the guy on the bus.
Uh-huh.
And the best part is like when you shout at a guy with one boob hanging out, he remembers.
Oh yeah.
And so he would see me on the bus and he's like, I'm being good, not about women, not in the AM. And he'd just start repeating what I said. He's like, I'm not gonna motherfucking curse on the Sabbath. Not about women. And like, I had him like kind of under my thumb. He was terrified.
Nicely, well, not intentionally, but nicely done.
I know, go figure. But yeah, no, show yourself.
Okay.
I need to try that one again. Maybe the boob is so scary.
So if there's a fella outside my house yelling, I just take out my junk and then yell at him.
I think it would work.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and I think I saw him again a couple months ago and he was like, I remember you. He's like, I'm behaving myself. And the guy I was sitting next to on the bus, who was totally unrelated to this whole thing, he's like, are you a social worker? And I'm like, yep, I am. I'm the social worker.
You are the social worker. Where is my paycheck?
Yeah, miracle worker, social worker. I don't know.
That's a good story. I like it.
Yeah, it's totally a fucked up story. But we got to be entertaining, right? Because like three people are going to listen to this podcast.
I'll say at least 12.
12?
No, we got at least 50. At least 50.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Wow. I wonder if somebody I know will listen to the podcast and then realize it's me.
Possibly.
Because if 50 people listen, then, you know, the chances go up.
One person from each state in the union will listen. Maybe someone from Puerto Rico. I don't know.
Only one, handpicked by Eric.
Yes. You have been selected. Please use this password to listen to this podcast. Now, hopefully people will listen again since I have been relaxed on the schedule.
Yeah, I know. Maybe somebody will listen. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And we'll be internet famous again. And again for awkward things.
Yeah, I really like the awkward entertainment.
Yep.
I enjoy it.
Well, anyway, I should probably go.
Yeah. It's been nice talking to you, Troy. We finally did it.
It's only going to get more awkward if we stay on. So
that's
we got to call it quits at some point. We got to back down.
Exactly. We told all our good stories. And
no, not all of them, but yeah. Anyway, well, it has been fun talking with you too.
Huh?
And if you ever come out to San Francisco to visit your aunt and uncle, who I already know,
yes,
and are deep and close friends,
we'll all hang out together.
We'll all go sailing or something like that.
Yeah.
It would be fun.
Exactly.
And that would be awkward.
It'd be super awkward. We have to do it then.
All right. Well, have a good afternoon and good luck with your podcast and your projects and, you know, all these people you like to troll.
Right.
Now, that guy's on my list, the Peterson guy. He's on my list. And I might screw with him a little.
Well, good luck. Don't tell him. Don't tell him about me. Keep my name out of it.
I will totally keep your name out of it.
Perfect.
All right. Well, have fun.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And there you have it. Thank you, Chor, for taking part in the conversation. I want to say it was a lot of fun, but that is so generic. I think I've said that after every episode so far. So we'll say I liked it. I don't know. It was a good conversation. I like stories. I like all the stories that I hear from. The interesting stories. And I don't think anyone has really told me a snoozer yet. And so we have more evidence on the pile here that I have nothing to worry about in calling these people who submit their information to have a chat with me. Or, you know, friends. Or anybody. I can't talk right now. That's the worst that someone's going to say. Really. So my fear is still there. Unfounded. Unfounded entirely. I like this conversation because of all the mischief that was pointed out. And how I guess I do get into mischief, but I've never really considered it that, but when talking to someone who kind of does some of the same things you do, it holds up a mirror. I hate that phrase, but it holds up a mirror to each and every one of us so we can see inside. No, it reflects back. What's another phrase, guys, that I can say instead of this? But I see a bit more of my... This is going to sound stupid no matter what I say. I'll just use the stupid mirror thing. It holds up a mirror to yourself. I see that I have been mischievous, I guess. And that is part of my personality. A little more hidden. I don't do it that often. And I have to really weigh the pros and cons before I get into it. Or I do now. Maybe not when I was younger. But now. So there you go. A 2-hour conversation. Flew by for me. I don't know how it did for you guys. Leave some notes. Leave some comments on the Noise Picnic website. That's noisepicnic.com. Just in the Better Strangers note area for this podcast. Chat it out. We'll chat it up. You can chat it up with Noise Picnic or Better Strangers. Let's just consolidate this, right? Let's go to the Noise Picnic page on Facebook and chat it up. Or you can follow Noise Picnic on Twitter at Noise Picnic. Before I start wrapping up, let's just say thanks to Chor once again. Thanks, Chor. That was a lot of fun. What can I say besides the left? That was an entertaining call. I enjoyed it. Right. If you would like to, hey, you guys, if you want to chat with me just like Chor did, you can go to noisepicnic.com and go to the Better Strangers section. On the right side there is a little area to submit your name, phone number, and stuff to submit to the site. I'll give you a call. We'll have a chat. Guys, I promise to do this more often. I am sorry. I've been lazy and fearful, but now hopefully that's over. You can also find Better Strangers on iTunes just by typing in Better Strangers and subscribing. Thanks to Brad Sucks for providing the theme music for the show. You can find his music for free, but buy it as well. He's great music at bradsucks.net. And of course, listen to other shows on noisepicnic.com. I did it. I made a website. Another website. So noisepicnic.com. That's where Better Strangers is hosted. That's where the Mike Vota Storytime Explosion is hosted. Mustache Rangers Classic. And the very new podcast, Trends. from local comedians Levi Weinhagen and Dan Hetzel. I really enjoy those guys, and I enjoy the podcast a lot, so go check that one out. Tell your friends about the site, tell your friends about everything, go on to iTunes, rate and review. That really helps us go up the charts in iTunes. And really, that's all. I just want to keep chatting. 2 hours wasn't enough, you guys. Let's just chat some more, you and me. Oh, you don't say. Interesting. I've had enough of you. All right. I will be back next week. Talk to you later.